Hey everyone, Jared Sylvesta here, host of Repurposed. Here's your podcast. I hope you enjoy.
I think there are different ways for all of us to experience what our purpose or our calling is. And I think that's almost one of the big it's that we're searching for. You know, why are we here? It is to figure out and resonate with what we are called to do.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sylvesta of Teachus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe there are three components to true wealth: purpose, impact, and legacy. If you want more information on our firm, just check us out online at teachusfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Derek Mount. Derek is a musician and literally he's a rock star. He was the former lead guitarist of the rock band Family Force 5. And we talk about how he discovered music, and he actually traces it back to him watching the movie Back to the Future, if you can believe that. And then we start talking about identity or lack thereof, because he left the band a couple of years ago that he had been a part of for over a decade. And this thing of identity is a really big deal. Here's part one of my chat with Derek Mount. All right, I got Derek Mount on the line. Derek, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule, joining me on the podcast today. This is really fun for me.
Dude, absolutely, man. It's fun for me, too.
This is just on a personal note. I'm a Family Force 5 fan, and for those of you that follow me and follow me on social media, I was just introduced to Family Force 5 like a couple of months ago, and that's right at the time when you just left the band, which we'll talk about. But this is
so awesome. That's why you're a fan.
No. This is awesome. And just on a personal note, too, and I wasn't going to get to this right away, like, I'm almost 40, dude, and, like, I've always dreamt of being in a rock band. So to talk with a guy who's like been on stage in front of tens of thousands of people, man, I am just so jealous to be talking to you right now.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. We've also been on stage in front of tens of people.
And everything in between, probably, right?
That's right.
Well, we'll talk about life at Family Force 5, but talk about what you're doing now. You've switched things up big time here in the past several months. You've got a couple of projects you're working on. Tell us what you're doing now.
Absolutely, yeah. So in April, I made a decision to leave Family Force 5, and right now I'm working on a lot of fun projects. It's almost hard to wrap my head around how many, but I have a project called Bric-a-Brac, and it's real cinematic, minimalistic, kind of mostly solo piano, very raw music that is usually used for film and TV projects and things like that. And then I have a project called Juno Kids with one of my best friends, Philip Zock, and it's kind of like if Tycho and Daft Punk and Rage Against the Machine were asked to score like the new Mad Max movie or E.T. or something like that. It's like real analog synthesizer music. And then those are the two that are currently out. But I have a whole bunch of other projects that I'm getting ready to launch. One is called Royce, R-O-Y-C-E. And then I have an unnamed project with one of my best friends, Riley Friesen, that once we got the name, we'll be fine. We've been making tons of music. So it's just a great chapter of creativity right now. And I'm just writing, producing, composing, and playing on a lot of records right now and really enjoying getting to just make a lot of art.
Yeah. You talked about working with kids. I saw something on your Twitter page about teaching kids about music, teaching them how to play, but also teaching them kind of the art of it. Do you get a chance to do that through some of these projects?
I do. I actually teach Skype guitar lessons. They started as just guitar lessons and eventually morphed into songwriting lessons or sometimes almost just like coaching, you know, for careers of people. And it's been a blast. I used to teach a lot, and then we started touring so heavily that I had to kind of tell a lot of my students, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. And one of my students, the mom was just amazing. She was like, we've tried three other teachers and he's just not into it anymore. Could you try something? And I was like, well, what if we do Skype? Yeah. And it's evolved into this really fun chapter of investing in children and, you know, somewhat getting to mentor or coach, but also just connect with the young people who inspire me all the time. I say young people. I got a lot of students that are older than me too, and they're just amazing. So it's a really, really beautiful outlook.
Well, it sounds like you were just so musically based. It sounds like you're more than just a guitar player, a musician, and an artist. Let's talk about purpose and calling. How would you describe that? And I ask a lot of my interviewees just a wide open question. There's no right or wrong answer. How would you personally describe that word purpose?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us, whether or not we realize it, share similar purpose. You know, it feels like I don't at all want to make anyone uncomfortable if they disagree with us. But I think our purpose is to love God and love others and cultivate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And, you know, I think we find our different outlets and vehicles and methods that allow us to do that best. And for me, a lot of times that's, I'd say right now that's music. And I think our purpose and our callings kind of change seasonally. You know, for one chapter of my life that might have been going on stage on the Craig Ferguson show and smashing everything with a guitar and a baseball bat.
I saw that, by the way.
Don't judge.
It was great.
And for other chapters, it might be, you know, writing songs that British cartoon characters are singing in a movie. And for other chapters, it might be making dinner for a friend that just had a baby. And, you know, I think there are different ways for all of us to experience what our purpose or our calling is. And it's, I think that's almost one of the big it's that we're searching for as humans of, you know, why are we here, is to figure out and resonate with what we are called to do.
You used purpose and calling kind of synonymous. Can you break that down a little bit? Just again, in your opinion, and I just asked this because I'm curious to hear it from your perspective. You said, you know, your purpose was kind of the bigger outlier, love God, love others. Your calling kind of changes from here and there. Can you just kind of just describe that a little bit more, kind of even how that's applied to your life?
Sure. I think encouraging or inspiring and sharing life together is really the big picture part of it.
Gotcha.
Maybe the calling, you know, maybe the purpose part. And then as we hone in on our own specific one, maybe that's a little bit more of our calling. You know, for you, it seems like it's been an exciting journey through television or is it financial advising that you're doing now?
Yeah, I work for a retirement firm. I basically use my broadcasting background to do sales and marketing. But it's interesting because it's the same thing. I think I'm using my skills and talents to fulfill a purpose, but the avenues and the calling are very different. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, you know, I really do. And I think it's healthy for all of us to kind of evolve. And if we did the same thing forever, that might be fine as long as we keep growing in that one same thing. But, you know, one of my friends always uses the term that we're co-creators of a universe. And, I know that may sound heady, but I think what he means is that every encounter we have with some person is an opportunity for grace. And we can, whatever situation we're in, we leave it a certain way. We contribute an energy to it. And sometimes it's a calling or a purpose to say, did I leave it in a better place than I found it?
You know,
I leave that person feeling affirmed and feeling like I valued and enjoyed him or her through that. And sometimes we do that through one job, and sometimes we do that through just a friendship. And it grows.
It's a good way to put it. How did you know that music was going to be your thing? Because this is clearly your thing. Was that at a young age, or how did you kind of, you know, stumble into that? Or maybe it was just a no-brainer when you were younger. Talk about that.
Oh, man. I was at my friend Elliot's house when we were really young, and he put Back to the Future on. And it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And
great movie, by the way.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. And there's the opening scene where Marty McFly just has this weird yellow guitar, and he plugs it into this futuristic space amp that's
like 10 feet tall.
At least 10 feet. Yeah, I don't know how tall it is, but it's bigger than him.
Yeah.
And he's wearing sunglasses inside, and he you know, the guitar pick is gleaming in the sun, and he just plays one chord and blows up the house, and like, you know, he flies into this shelf, and I sat there and I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. There's just this power that came out of this amp, and I don't know what it was about that that struck me, but that and you know, coupled with the scene where he's shredding this guitar solo at a dance that ends up affecting the future and changing the way everything unfolds, I went home and was like, Mom, Dad, that's what I gotta do, you know. And it was really funny. A couple of years ago, my wife ran into Michael J. Fox, actually, and she was like, hey, I don't mean to be funny, but you know, my husband always says that you are the reason he wanted to play guitar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He just laughed and he was like, well, John Mayer said the same thing.
he kickstarted careers by that one scene.
I guess so, you know.
how old were you at the time?
You know, I think I was pretty young. It's hard to say. I would want to say 5 or 6, maybe. But I remember asking my parents, you know, I got to play guitar. And we didn't have one. And I think, you know, my mom was actually really good at piano. And there was this lady who won the Price is Right in our neighborhood. And she was really upset because she wanted to win a car. She was like, if you won the Price is Right, that's what you're supposed to win. So she had all these things and she started selling them. And one of the things she sold was a piano. Hmm. And my parents bought that. And that's what my mom taught me how to play. You know, we sat there for hours and it was a really amazing start. And eventually when I was about 13, my uncle said, you know, your parents have been telling me that you've really been wanting to play guitar. And my Uncle Brad had a Yamaha that had been sitting collecting dust, and he let me play it. And they felt like these new voices, you know, to have a piano and a guitar. And eventually I played percussion in the school band, and I was like, for the first time I know how to speak, you know, and actually convey what I'm feeling. You know, not right away, certainly. It's really just become a language and a cathartic way to just dig into something deeper, I think.
That's awesome. I can't go with this interview without talking about this, and I'm sure you've been asked this question 1,000 times, but just quickly, can you get into how you got into Family Force 5 and just talk just briefly about your career with the band?
Oh, sure, man. I graduated from college and was living in Atlanta, teaching a lot of lessons, playing with a billion rock bands, and you know, playing in a lot of churches. The church worship scene in Atlanta here is very strong, and we had a lot of great musicians I was playing with. And there was a band called The Family around town that I thought was just really great. And I met 3 brothers who were all in the band. They ran sound at a big church in Atlanta, and I was on the worship team at that church. And so Jacob Olds, who at the time was the drummer, now is the singer. And Jacob and I became really great friends and hit it off. And we would usually go grab pot roast of all things, which is hilarious. Yeah, Jacob and I really became great friends. And at one point he called, and I was actually about to go to graduate school. I was studying to get a master's in theological studies. And he gave me a call and was like, hey, man, we need a guitar player. Would you want to audition? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, man. Let's do it. And so I went, and it was about an hour and a half drive over to their place and had this audition. And I was feeling great about it. I just had so much fun. I remember, you know, bringing every guitar I owned and every piece of gear in the world. And they were like, oh, no, just use this one guitar of ours. And, you know, it was pretty fun and easy. And so the audition went well, and I drove back home, and right when I got home, I got a call from Solomon, the lead singer at the time, and he was like, hey, can you come back? I was like, okay, sure. So I went back, and there was a song called Replace Me on our first album that they had started writing, and he was like, can you do a guitar solo? And I was like, sure. And so Solomon and I came up with these really what we think were pretty cool guitar parts and recorded the rest of that song that night, and then they called me and said, hey, what are you doing, you know, next week? What's it look like? And I was like, I got a really big test. Why? And they were like, well, we just bought you a ticket to Los Angeles for a photo shoot. Can you go? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was really fun. And, you know, I absolutely always dreamt of doing that and playing in a rock band. It was what I wanted to do, and just had a great run. I mean, it was I'm so grateful. You know, I think what's funny is that story that I just said sounds a little more glamorous than it was at the beginning, because you know, our first several years, I mean, we were just in a van for 200 to 300 days a year, and most days eating one meal a day at either Wendy's or McDonald's, depending on who was driving. And my choice would have always been Chick-fil-A or Subway, but it was not always unanimous there. So
really, what was the favorite? Burger King or Taco Bell or something?
Well, if Josh was driving, we went to Wendy's every time. Okay. He was a big fan.
Yeah.
And every now and again, someone would slip in a McDonald's there. But
you're kind of a health freak. Was that tough to take?
Oh, you've done your homework. I'm definitely a health freak.
Yeah.
It was a whole lot of getting the grilled cheese sandwiches and grilled chicken sandwiches.
Doing jumping jacks on the bus in the van.
It was really rubber in. Totally. That was pre-bus day. It was usually.
Right.
We would ask some fan, you know, can we spend the night on your floor tonight? And that's where I push ups. And it was amazing, man. I mean, you learn so much through that experience, and you get tight as a band, as musically, but also as friends. And it was something I definitely will cherish. And it was a nice long journey. We had moments where it was higher than that and lower than that. And I think, I got to meet a lot of heroes, got to write a lot of wonderful music with wonderful people, and record at some of my favorite studios. And I could keep talking about it forever. I don't know how long.
Just a question for you. You're in the band for over 10 years. By the way, we're located in Wilmer, Minnesota, which is the home of Sunshine Festival. You played there many times.
Sure.
If you remember that, but just for people who aren't familiar with Family Force 5, I mean, it was started as a thrasher band, and now, you know, with a few changes up, it's a little bit more of a smooth, kind of groovy sound. I mean, you were traveling literally the world in a rock band, jumping around, singing songs about chainsaws. Like, how did that fulfill your purpose? Because you talked about how your purpose was to love others, love God, and you had this calling of being a musician. How did that all tie together by being in this literally rock band that traveled the world?
Oh man, what a great question. You know, it's so funny. This is actually a little serious before I get to the funny part of it, but I remember, you know, I mean, there are some tours that are really tough. And there was one year in particular, I'd been out 285 days. And I was, you know, my wife really needed me at home, and the record wasn't quite doing as well as we'd hope, and the radio wasn't going quite as well as we'd hoped, and the turnouts at the crowd weren't going quite as well as we'd hoped. And I remember we were all just pretty discouraged. The bus had broken down, and it, you know, all the money that we had made from that tour, more than that, was going to be spent repairing the bus.
Wow.
And we were all just so discouraged. And I remember getting back on the bus after the show, and there was a pizza box, and on the back of the pizza box, there was this message that just said, this September will be 2 years since I stopped cutting. FF5 was the main thing that kept me from doing it. Thank you very much, Savannah. Wow. 17. And it's like in the scraggliest handwriting, you know, you can't see it because there's a piece of sauce, you know, right next to one of the letters. But that's just like an example of one of the many things that happens. You know, I mean, we would have people tell us, they got over depression from us. They, you know, reunited with a friend for the first time because they found that they both liked our music, or even stuff like it was the soundtrack of my summer, or it was what I listened to on the way to school every day.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones, a lady was like, I put your record on while I was giving birth because I wanted my kid to hear your song when, you know,
first thing.
And I'm just cracking up. But, you know, some of that is so touching and amazing. And then on the flip side, one of my favorite parts about it is so many times we would connect with someone who's telling us one of these stories, and you expect, okay, yeah, well, what song was it? Was it something like Let It Be Love? Was it Not Alone? Was it Walk on Water? Like, you know, one of our a little more
serious song,
in-depth song.
Yeah.
And it's almost every time they're like, no, man, it was like drama queen. It made me laugh for the first time in ever, or yeah. Chainsaw. Yeah. Oh, I'm just doing the dance at home by myself and smiling. And, you know, you just, it is hilarious what really does truly cut through and connect with someone. And I think that is what justifies the buy-in for all creatives. You know, I just went to this film and music conference. It was amazing, that Music Bed put on. And I was looking for commonalities between all of these filmmakers and all the artists that are there and musicians. Were, I think what all of us had in common is we have terrible boundaries about the hours that we pour into our passions. And if we look at how much we all make per hour, it's a joke, you know, like we're all just up at 2 a.m. and yeah. working on these passions. And why do we do it? You know, I think it's, you look at moments like that. You look at the fact that we can sit there and say that, we made something that might affect somebody in a positive way, or yeah. someone tell you, like, show that you put on was one of the best days of their life. You know, I mean, just yeah. yesterday, I got an email that this group called Concern Ireland, is going to use one of my bric-a-brac songs, for a commercial that they have. And this charity that's fighting poverty and has such a bigger picture calling that yeah. it's hard to wrap your head around when you make something and it ends up being bigger than you ever thought it would. You know, it's 1 + 1 = 3 sometimes, yeah. I think. And I'm sorry, I'm blabbing too much here, but I get excited.
That's no, great. It's good stuff, because you're talking about purpose, calling, you're talking about impacting people, and you're talking about something bigger than yourself. It's, all these things tie together, and that's exactly the story we're trying to tell with this podcast. You know, you spent, what was it, 11 years, 12 years with Family Force 5?
Yeah, it was 11 and a half, so excellent.
11 and a half years. You left, and I would have to assume, because I did the same thing. I did TV Weather for 12 years and was kind of in the spotlight, so to speak, and had a chance to give some of those stories. And it was even weird as a TV Weather guy. People were like, it was just a breath of fresh air. And I'm like, I'm literally talking about weather for 2.5 minutes. I don't know how you're getting that type of impact out of that, but that was extremely fulfilling. Then I walk away, and I'll be the first to admit that the hardest thing that first year to 2 years after I left was reestablishing my identity, because I had been a part of something that was part of who I was. That 10 plus years that you were in Family Force 5 and then you walk away, talk about your identity. How did you reestablish that? Did you struggle with this idea of impacting people not on the same stage? Just kind of navigate through some of those struggles that you had leaving the band, or maybe you didn't have any.
Oh, wow. No, I definitely resonate with a lot with what you just said. I think that's been part of the biggest journey in this new chapter for me. It's so funny and humbling when you realize how almost every time you're introduced to a new person, they're like, oh, this is Derek. He's the guitar player in Family Force 5, right. You know, and you sit there and you go like, okay, like, who are you? And people aren't like, oh, that's the guy that does jump splits on stage and spins the guitar around his head and is wearing snakeskin boots. You're like,
By the way, I just have to interject, and I'm sorry for interrupting. Like, that has got to be the best thing ever. Like, I am so jealous. Like, I'm almost 40, and this is true. Like, I bought a drum set, and I played it nice. Off like it was for my kid, and it's not. It's for me. And, nice. And I'm almost 40, and like, my goal is to be in some 80s cover band. That rock cover
band.
Oh,
that's a great goal.
That's my goal. And I, whenever I see a band, I'm just like, I'm watching. I'm like, dude, that is the coolest thing ever. And you get to dress like a WWE superstar. And I see, I can't do that now. If I did that now in small town America, people would think I'm crazy, but that's just like what you do. That's like part of the thing. You know what I'm saying? That's awesome.
It is.
Sorry. So like people were still, they still identify you as guitar player from Family Force 5. Okay, go on.
Sure. But yeah, I still remember a few days after my last show, I had a dentist appointment, and yeah. it was a new hygienist, and I was sitting in the chair, and she said, what do you do for a living? And I was like, oh, I'm a musician. And she was like, oh, cool. Are you in a band? And it was the first time I just sat there and I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm not.
The answer is no. Like, and I just sat there in my head. It was like this stress factor. I'm like, what am I grabbing for? Am I a session player who plays guitar on all these people's records? Am I a composer? I make tracks for live tracks for artists. Is that what I do? Or am I going to play in some other band? Yeah, I might do that. And I'm just kind of reeling, going, wow, who am I?
Who are you? That is a huge question that we all have to answer, and certainly one that Derek was pondering the first time he got asked that question, what do you do, after he left Family Force 5. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with Derek, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want to check out that book or get the first two chapters totally free to your inbox, go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.